Okay, this week is Parshas Ekev. It's Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. I saw in a safe that when you Mevarch Chodesh Elul, you have to have in mind 2 months. You have to have in mind to be Mevarch Chodesh Elul and also Chodesh Tishrei. Because there is no Mevarchim for Chodesh Tishrei. In fact, some have a gear, they say a different nusach this month. I don't know if this is true. They say instead of saying Achodesh Habo Aleinu, they say Habo'im Aleinu. Let me turn to the page. We don't do that. That's not our minhag. But I did come across this. It's a fascinating insight. Give me one moment. Can we make the Mishaberach? What do we say? We say it's a chodesh hazeh. Okay, but then it goes on. Our minig is to say, even when you're 2 days Rosh Chodesh, our minig is to say Habo. So maybe that's what it meant. Those who have the minhag, okay, yeah, that's maybe what it meant. Those who have the minig to say when you have a 2 days, like we do, Elul is always 2 days. So you say Rosh Chodesh, Elul, Yeh B'yoyim HaShabbos, right? Umacharoso, B'yoyim HaShabbos, B'yoyim HaRishoyim, Habo'im. Haboim. When you say the word Haboim, you're supposed to have. So let's sort of say, I don't remember where I saw this, but one, I know where I saw this. So it's called Vayakel David. I don't know who the Mechaber. It's a Likud. Vayakel David. He says Haboim. When you say Haboim, you are supposed to have in mind not only Chodesh Elul, Chodesh Tishrei. No, we don't do that. Obviously, you don't do that. Obviously, you don't know such thing as being no such thing as being Mekadesh more than 1 month at a time. It's only a remes. Since we know in advance that we're not going to be Mekadesh Chodesh Tishrei, because in order to confuse the Satan, in order to Vakesel Yom Chagein, we want it to be hidden, but we don't want to take away the fact that it also requires sanctification. So, b'derech remes, yimechavin this idea. Halacha l'maaseh, it's not our minhag to say the word Haboim. We say Habo even when there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh. By the way, just as a side point, when are you supposed to say Umocharoso? So the general rule is whenever you're differentiating between Chol and Chodesh, if it's Friday Shabbos or Shabbos Sunday, so then you differentiate Umocharoso. But when it's 2 days during the week, you just say Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlosheni, then you say Habo or Haboim, you do not say Umocharoso. Being that this Shabbos is going to be it's Shabbos and Sunday, so then you say Umocharoso B'yom Rishon. But if the Baon who davens Musaf does not do this, don't get angry with him, because there are some who do not who hold that this rule is not true. Yeah, some there are.
There's no difference.
Some do not hold this rule to be true.
If you remember, it was all time.
This was the rule I grew up with. I once came across that. It's a nice rule, but it's not necessarily 100% true, according to all opinions. Therefore, it's not something to make a fight about. It's not something to embarrass someone. Certainly, when he's doing it, b'shas ma'aseh, don't go and publicly say you're making a mistake. After davening is over, even then, it all depends on the person, how sensitive he is, if you want to go and correct him. But it's interesting. Okay, but that's an interesting idea.
But 6 months later, he'll forget it when it comes out again.
Oh, forget about it. All right. Okay, now, this Shabbos is also brought down in Sfarim. It's called Shabbos Busha. You thought there's only Shabbos Hagadol, and there's Shabbos Shuva, and there's Shabbos Parsha Zohar.
Shabbos Yira.
Shabbos what?
Yira.
What's Shabbos Yira? There's Shabbos Shira. But there's something called Shabbos Busha. Why is it called Busha? Because we make mention of the Egel. The Egel is mentioned over here very explicitly. Moshe Rabbeinu describes in very great detail what happened when Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel. One of the stages of Zechiras, which is supposed to say every single day, supposed to remember 6 things. And the sin of the pasuk of remembering the Egel comes from this week's parsha. One of the 6 psukim is Zechor, remember that you sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar by worshipping the eagle. So even though you would say usually Parashas Kisisa, maybe because Parashas Kisisa is usually Shabbos Parah, or it's Parashas Zohar, or it's Shabbos HaChodesh, I don't know why. Why don't we say that Parashas Kisisa should be Parashas Shabbos Busha? I don't know. But this, for some reason, this parasha is connected to Shabbos called Shabbos Busha. And that's a good thing. Because Chazal say, you look at the Gemara, the end of the Gemara of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, we discussed it, but Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the Gemara concludes the sugya, the words, the last words of the Gemara, after the Gemara spends 2.5 daf on Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Boyu Re'ei Kama Godol Koichoi Shel Busha. It's because Bar Kamsa was to be embarrassed. He was going to be thrown out of the party. Bar Kamsa was the one that was going to be, was embarrassed. He was thrown out publicly from the wedding. He was willing to pay the cost of the entire Suda. He was willing to spend all his money, and he was thrown out of the Suda. He went, had the chutzpah to go to the Kesar and say, Mordu Bach Yehudai, which brought about, started the process of the Churm. Bo Yirei Kam Gadol Kol Choshol Busha. And that is what we mentioned when we learned in Yoni Tishabav, that is why Chazal tell us that the Beis HaMikdash will only be rebuilt in the Zuchus of Rachel Imenu. Why? Rachel said, when she saw that they were taking in Leah into the chuppah instead of Rachel, so she says, my sister, Rashi, I don't remember the exact words of Rashi, my sister will be embarrassed. And she did not want her sister to be embarrassed, so she gave her the simonim. And in that sechus, she was able to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachel Mavak al Boneha, Hashem Yesh Chom Lefulasech, Veshavu Bonim Ligvulam. The Geula, the Baya Shlishi, it's explicit in the Medrash, it's only in the Zuchos of Rachel Imenu, because she gave over the Simonim so that her sister should not be embarrassed. It's Mida Keneged Mida. The Churban came about because the person was embarrassed. The Kamsa did not care for the shame of Bar Kamsa. The Rabbanon that was sitting there did not care for the shame of Bar Kamsa. And that's why the Churban, the Mela, has to be rebuilt with the Koyach of sensitivity to Busha. And what is the Koyach of Busha? How does a person acquire Busha? Well, Chazal say is, I think that's why it's called Shabbos Busha, because you have the antidote. Remember, you guys have a good question. Why not Parashas Kisisa? Because this week's parasha, we have the pasuk Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Meimach Kiim LiYira Oso. The only thing that Hashem wants is Yira Shemayim. Chazal say that Call me Shehu Baisham. Anyone that has a sense of shame, it's a simon muvok shehu yore shamayim. So it's specifically Parshas Egev, that Shabbos Busha, and not Parshas Kisisa, that Shabbos Busha, because here we are ashamed of the Chet HaEgel, and we are ashamed. Why? Maybe Parshas Kisisa, we're not ashamed. The reason why we feel the shame in Parshas Ekev and not in Parshas Kisisa is because in Parshas Ekev we have the antidote. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimachim LiYira Oso. A person who has a sense of Yira Shemayim realizes Hashem's greatness and how inadequate, how little a person is. There's a sense of shame. When you have a shame for yourself, you can have an appreciation, busha, you can have a sense of shame for someone else's pain, and that can bring the goal of the gula. Yeah.
Another thing, b'shas ma'asav al egel, you don't feel ashamed, you do something wrong.
B'shas ma'asav, when you have harata, 40 years later, when you reflect, 40 years later, when you reflect and on the chait of what you've done, then you can be filled with this degree of shame. The Shas Mayis of the Yetzirah was so powerful, they did not sense the shame. It's only in retrospect, 40 years later, they can.
Different generation.
Okay, but in Echlani, it's different generation, but it's the Busha. So this is very appropriate to sense Busha, Shabbos, Mivorchim, Chodesh, Elul. Chodesh Elul is the Tkufa Elul. Ala Litvax, what's the Velen Lebedek? What's the Vav?
Varen?
Varen.
Varen.
Varen. Ala Litvax?
Varen.
Velen?
Varen.
Varen Lebedek.
Will become
Lebedek. They shockle. When it comes Elul, all the Litvax, they shockle.
And
Yilidodi Vidodili. Okay, you know what a Litvak. A Litvak is like Pesha. You know what Pesha is? Pesha, it's cold, it shakes, and if you try to warm it up, it gets ruined. A Litvak is a kalt mensch, he shuckles, and if you try to warm him up with a little chassidus. Okay, let's go to something more serious. If you have a good rabbi, it's b'schus harav. If you don't have a good rabbi, it's b'schus of the rabbin. It depends on the shul.
No,
I think it's shal legirsa. I don't know. Rav also, there's some say it's Tfilas Rav. Rav was the one that was Mechaber, the Nusach. That's Rabin. Rav is the Rav in the Gemara. Is it the Rav of the Shul or Vayevsky? Is the Chus of the Rav? It all depends. There are many factors.
We don't have a Rav this week in the Shul. We don't have a Rav this week in the Shul.
Okay, let's go now to another. Let's go. To the beginning of the parasha, the Hoya Ekev Tishmun. Rashi quotes Im HaMitzvos HaKalois. The mitzvos that are lightweight. She'odam dosh ba'akevav. Light mitzvos, a person steps upon them. Be well. A person steps ba'akevav with his heels. Tishmun. Then Hashem is going to guard the brisbane habisorim v'shomar Hashem elokecha luches habris v'yasacheset asher nishpala avisacha. So what does it mean, the mitzvahs of which a person steps upon? So the Medrash gives two examples. What do you step upon? Shiluach hakein. Okay? Ki a person is walking in the derech. Ki yikorei kan sipar lefonecha baderech. I'm walking on the road. I'm traveling on the road. The road, how do you travel? You travel by foot. I know, look at that. There is a nest. There is a mother bird with a nest of eggs. So you tie in the mitzvah. What is the second example that it says in the Medrash? The mitzvah of tzitzis. Because tzitzis, and this is what we had once discussed, this is tzitzis in the mitzvah, which people have a tendency to step upon their tzitzis. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So you should know that somehow the minog, I once discussed this, and we don't do this today in Mishnah, it says that the tzitzis should not be too long, because if the tzitzis go on the floor, it's a bizoyan to the mitzvah. That's the way that is the halacha, that is what is accepted today, but it's brought down, I saw this in a few places, that was not necessarily the way it was done in ancient times. In ancient times, adarabah, the nature of the mitzvah of tzitzis is that the tzitzis should drag on the floor. The ritzuas, they throw it on the floor. It's an inyan bedavka to throw it on the floor, that the Shem Shechina goes all the way down. The Shem Hashem, it channels all the way down to the floor. That's not our minhag. Okay? The minhag is you don't throw your ritzuas on the floor. If it happens by accident, then you can say, so it happened by accident. But it's like a kala. A kala wears a gown, and the gown has a train. That's the derech. A long train goes on for many, many feet. The fancier it is. Yeah. But it's getting filthy dirty. It's touching the dirt. No, the answer is, you have a red carpet. That's the way it goes. The Gemara talks about, in the Gemara in Kamsa, given about one of them, there were three wealthy people that were able to support the entire Yerushalayim. One of them was a person by the name of Tzitzis Hakeses. So he went, and he was unique, he was novel. He went and not wanted Tzitzis to go and drag on the floor, so he had like a shmata underneath the Tzitzis, so the Tzitzis would not drag on the floor. That implies, according to some opinions, everyone else, it was their custom that the Tzitzis did drag on the floor. Why? The Tzitzis was like a collar's gown. It's like the train of a gown which drags. That's the nature.
They were machman. They had a sheer of Tzitzis. Though.
Very long Tzitzis.
4 feet long.
Yeah, they did. It a very long.
I think it's very simple. The
clothing
that they wore was
very long. So the nail of the tzitzis got on the ground. It was no big deal, and this was the tzura of the mitzvah. Today, this is a foreign concept to us because we don't do that. We, in Adrab, the Mishnah Berurah says, you should not do it. If you do it, it's a zilzul, it's a bezoyin. What?
since the time Geniza.
No, they don't. They don't dig Geniza. The teeth goes in the garbage. It's a mitzvah. It's not Kedusha.
Hashmisha,
tzitzis can be thrown in the garbage. They're covered. But it can be put in the garbage. So this is brought down. That's what it means in this medrash. It means mitzvah she'odom dosh ba'akevav. In the time of Chazal, there is an opinion that says this indeed was the way tzitzis was worn. It was worn, like you said, a very, very long garment. They were all down to the floor. They had four corners. The tzitzis dragged on the floor. This was the tzur of how they wore tzitzis. Namely, you can end up stepping on your tzitzis. She'adam dosh va'akevav, you end up stepping on your tits, and it's not a terrible thing. That's the mitzvah. That's how it's supposed to be done. Okay, we don't do this today. But these are the two examples that are given by the Medrash. The question I ask is there any significance in why the Medrash specifically gave these two examples? What is the significance? You know, for example, when it comes to the mitzvah of schar mitzvah b'hai alma, l'man yarichun yomecha, there are only two mitzvahs which Chazal give, which the Torah gives the schar. Shiluach hakein, one of the two, and kibud avoein. And what Chazal tell us, there's a reason why, because these two mitzvahs represent the extremes. Shiluach hakein is a mitzvah which is beyond our understanding. Why should it be that sending away a mother bird and causing a mother bird tsar, enormous tsar, the loss of her children, there should be arichas yomecha? It makes absolutely no sense to the average person. And the mitzvah of kibud avoein is a mitzvah which makes the most sense. A parent brought you into this world, the ha'akaras atov. Even Dal ben Asina, even a guy had an understanding that you have to go and you have to have appreciation for your parents who brought you into this world. So there are two extremes. So perhaps we can suggest that these two mitzvahs are also represented two extremes. Shiluach HaKein, Chazal say, is a mitzvah which to us doesn't make sense. It's a mitzvah which is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our understanding. Tzitzis is a mitzvah which captures all of the mitzvahs. Well, let me tell you, that doesn't make sense. It's a mitzvah you cannot prepare for. That's what I meant to say. Shiluach HaKein ki yikore. I know that in the newspapers they advertise. It's a big business. Okay? It's a big business. But me'ikar hadin, the nature of Shiluach HaKein is a mitzvah ki yikore. It's not something you can prepare for. It's something which is a gift. You're walking in the street, Hashem presents you with an opportunity. There's no way in the world you can prepare. If you prepare for it, then that's not the mitzvah. It takes away from the mitzvah. Tzitzis is the means of preparing for every single mitzvah. Uri'isem also, uzichartem, and you shall remember, es kol mitzvahs Hashem, v'asisem also, and you shall do it. So to a certain degree, these two examples represent the two extreme opposites. All of the mitzvahs, which you should deliberately have kavana, and spend all of your time working to achieve. So look at it, look at the tzitzis, it's here for you to do. It's available. Shiluach HaKein is a mitzvah you can't do. You can't prepare for. If the pasuk says v'hoyo ekef, if you will be meticulous in doing all of the mitzvahs, which from a mikotze el akotze, taking advantage of opportunities that present themselves that you cannot prepare for. I had no idea I'd wake up today and I would have an opportunity to do this mitzvah. This is a mitzvah which I never imagined I would have an opportunity to do. So, all right, you know, I'm busy. Akef Tishmon. An opportunity comes to your hand, take advantage. And don't go say, I'm only going to do those special mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs which come about every single day, that I don't care about. No. Tzitzis is a symbol of doing the mitzvahs which are biyodoi. Where we eat them also, zechart, and it's kol mitzvahs Hashem v'asisim also. If you will be meticulous in conquering all of the mitzvahs, the ones that present themselves on occasion, plus the ones that are always available to you, they're in front of you, they're available, then, and only then, Hashem reciprocates, and Hashem says, I will reciprocate, v'shamar Hashem elokecho l'cho, es habris v'esaches asher nishva l'avasecha. So there's symbolic meaning in why Chazal specifically focused on Ekev, on these two mitzvahs, that represents mikotze el hakotze. Okay, now there's a very beautiful vart, which is very deep, from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Chaim Soloveitchik, and if I'm not mistaken, he's not the only one that says this. Other people that say this as well. And he asked the question, why does it say the word vishomar? The hoyo ekev tishmun, if you will guard the mitzvos, you will guard the mitzvahs meticulously. Eis hamishvatim o'elav u'shmaitem v'asisim osam v'shomar. What's the word there? There are many ways to ask this question. I don't remember exactly who asked it. The Noam Elimelech also asked the question, and Chaim Soloveitch and others. There are many ways to attack this pasuk. Number one, why v'shomar, v'zochar, u'pokad. There are many when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remember our good deeds, it should be Hashem will remember. We always ask Zuchor LaAvraham LeYitzchak LeYaakov. We have on the Yom Noiram. We have Zuchroinois. Remember the Akeda. Remember the Bris Ben Abesarim. The Hashem Pakan Es Avram. If we were writing this pasuk, it's not likely we would select the word Vishomar.
It's like Shomar V'Zochar.
Zohar. But the word, when you want to invoke the Zuchus of us, you would say V'zochar Hashem Elokech Lucha Es Habris. Hashem will remember. V'shomar does not appear to be the correct guard. Does not appear to be the correct word when you want to select, when you want to invoke the merit of the Avos in order that we should have bracha. That's not the right word. Another question, more basic question, is why do we need the bracha of the Avos? We only need to come on to Zuchus Avos when we're not doing the Ritzoy Neshomakon. When we are in a state when we are not worthy. So in order just to get us through the day, to survive, to live, to see another day, we need to come on to Zuchus Avos until we get our act together. But the pasuk here is recording that we are with the program. V'haya Ekev Tishmur. It is because you are observant, you are meticulous, and even the small mitzvahs, Eis HaMishpatim Ha'ila, U'shmartem V'asisem Osam, you're guarding them and you're doing them. Wonderful! We don't need to come on to the Zuchus Avos. Why does the pasuk say, oh, now that you're good people, you're a good person, now Hashem is going to guard the Bris Avos. So these two questions really answer one another. The answer is, in a chanami, that when we are meticulous in observing the mitzvahs, we taka don't need the zuchus avos. And that's why it does not say the word zochar. It says, shomar, Hashem will take the zuchus avos and put it away for safekeeping, for the future. That's the bracha. The bracha is, we won't use up zuchus avos. We have a limited supply of life savings. You have a bank account and you have your life savings. It's for a rainy day. It's for the next generation. It's for something. Who in their right mind would want to deplete their life savings? You want that to be put away in a, I don't know all these financial terms. They put them away. They put away the money. Whatever you do with the money, they put it away for safekeeping. So Enoch Inami, the pasuk is saying, you should put, just like the average person understands the concept. Your life savings is not something to be played around with. You want to put away for shmira. Behave yourself. Because when you're not behaving yourself, and you're surviving, you're living through the day, you should realize you're depleting the zuchus avos. You're in good shape. Now vishomar. The zuchus avos will be guarded for the future, for olam haba. You won't need to draw from the zuchus avos. Beautiful var, it's a very profound var. There's a lot of depth into appreciating what this really means. And indeed, what's the proof to this? One more little point to add to this is: look at the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says is vishamar bigmatria leosid lavo. On this pasuk, the Baal HaTurim says the Shamar has the same gematria l'asid lavo. It's not that Hashem is going to do it for us now. Hashem will put away the zuchus avos for the future, not for this generation, for later on. Okay.
The Baal HaTurim, did he do these himself as gematrias, or is it drawing tradition?
I don't know. I'm assuming so. Did the Baal HaTurim, anything that he quotes, is that his own? Or maybe he had a Messiah, maybe he had some of his teachers.
They say he did it in one night, overnight he wrote
the whole thing in one night?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think someone complained that he did the whole halacha, but he didn't know anything on the Torah.
What do you mean? Baal HaTurim.
What did he write?
Can I get it?
But his father complained. What about the tyrant?
So then he wrote the Baal HaTurim.
So he said overnight, and overnight he wrote the whole
Baal HaTurim.
If I can get a word out. First of all, it was the all the term is not now mostly gematria. There are some gematrias, and many of them are found a century earlier in the Rokea.
Okay, that's that was the point. So he collected. He was a Malachi.
He didn't copy everything, but there's a tremendous overlap.
There's one thing that was very different between our generation and going back hundreds of years: plagiarism. Not, I don't mean plagiarism. It was not the style. It was understood. It was clearly understood in years or even time of the Chafetz Chaim
that you can. Both of those, and I've seen them.
You can take chunks of someone else's sefer and put into your sefer, and it's self understood. It's not mine. Everyone knows that what I'm quoting over here is words from someone else. Today, you do this, you go to jail. Or you right away, you are completely delegitimized. What?
The Balaturim you see is the shortened version. There's a full Balaturim. So there's a separate Balaturim which was much.
He wrote it. Was someone else?
Much more.
Yeah.
And they just. For the full
condensed.
They condensed it?
Balaturim is the full one.
No, it's fine.
It was a long
one. It's a Balaturim Amole. I'll give it
the longer version.
Or did he wrote that, or someone else wrote it? Someone else expanded it. But the Balaturim Amole, did he write, or was it expanded by someone else? Or whatever it is. Okay. Look, he made it to the page of the Shul Chumash. That's pretty impressive. It really is. To make it, what are they quoted? No, they're just the Chumash, the Unklis, Rashi, and then they have the Ikkas Tisei Chum, they also made it. In all versions, they have it. In the old versions, they had Ikkas Tisei Chum. In the old versions, yeah. Yeah, okay, but the Baal HaTorim, that's impressive. You know, you made it.
It's hard for Rashi to get on the side of the Shas.
On the Shas. But Chumash is something to it, that, you know, in the what they call the Shul Chumash. The Shul Chumash, you have Baal HaTorim. Okay, let's go to another. Let's talk a little bit about Yirat Shamayim. Yatah Yisrael Mo Hashem Lekecha Shoyel Meimach. I saw something very interesting from Rav Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zechat Sag, Levracha, quoting Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch. He takes note that the word She'ela is used in Tanakh many times. And he quotes Rav Shamshin Rafal Hirsch, and he says that the word She'ela can mean one of two things. It can mean a request, to make a request, or it could mean to borrow. And there's a very big difference. When you make a request, you know, give me. I want you to do. I want you to either do an action for me. I want you to make a donation. I want you to do something. Oh, by the case, shola isha meish shechenta. So he learns there by the clothing. With the clothing, doesn't necessarily there mean to borrow clothing. The borrow by yitzias mitzrayim. It means actually
give me
a gift. I'm going out, I'm leaving the land, we're going out to serve on the Shvach, I want some nice clothing, I want some nice things, give me. That's what it can mean, and sometimes it means, a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, yishal ish me'im mereyu, it means to borrow. Now when you borrow something, I'm not the legal owner. I'm a shoyel. A shoyel is chayiv on gneva v'yaveda. You chayiv even an oinsin. You chayiv an oinsin. You chayiv on everything. A shoyel is chayiv on. It's not mine. I'm just having temporarily my possession. Or does it mean it's the same exact word? Sometimes it means to ask or make a request. Sometimes it means to borrow. So the question is: how do you know the difference? How do you know when the word means a request and when the word is translated as to borrow? Rav Shamshon Moller, if I'm not mistaken, explains: it all depends if you use the word she'el is followed by the word es or the word im. And he says this is consistent. We have also another example. We have, for example, achash shalti. Me'es Hashem. Me'es. So you want to borrow something from Hashem? No. Me'es. Whenever you have an aleph and a saf, it means a request. If the word she'ela is followed by the word es, or not necessarily the word es, or another letter, okay, you have to know, you have to,
or
some form of s. You have to be a baki radak to know all the rules of grammar, to know when you have a letter that it's a prefix to a word which serves in the place of S, then it means a request. Acha shoalti me'es Hashem. I have one request. I'm not coming to borrow anything from you. I have a request. On the other hand, when you have the word v'chi yishal ish me'im, not, it's a very different word, im. In chavero, that means to borrow. So therefore,
means borrowing is a form of request.
It's a, that's why they're related. That's why these two, these exactly the same shirish is related, but it's an entirely different meaning. It's a relation. I'm making a request, but the request is not to give me, not to do. It's just to let me have possession. So now, with that in mind, Rav Schwab says, let's analyze the pasuk here in this week's parasha. This is one of the most important pasuk in the entire Torah. V'ata Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha, Shoyel Me'imach. So, if what is Hashem being Shoyel Me'imach? Is Hashem coming to make a request from us, or is Hashem coming? Is Hashem coming to make a demand? So L'chora HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to make a demand. If Hashem is coming to make a demand, then the word demand doesn't fit. Because the word me'imah has the grammatical form me'im, me'im cha, me'im oscha. It's as if it says v'chi yishal ish me'im, me'im chaveroi. A person asked, wants to borrow from him, from his friend. We translate this pasuk the wrong way, pretty much. We translate the pasuk with what the Yata Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha, what is Hashem asking of you? But if that is correct, the pasuk should say not Me'imach, Rav Schwab says, it should say Mimicha. The ayin does not belong. It should say Mimicha. That would be the equivalent Me'es Imcha. Would be, if you have the two mems, the grammatical equivalent would be from you. Then it would mean, it would be perfect. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking from you? Hashem has one demand. The demand is, Kim liyira es Hashem Elokecha. But it's not what it says. It says, Mei with an ayin, with an mem and an ayin, which is equivalent to Meim Osecha, from you. Which then forces us to understand that the word Shoyel means to borrow. And what does that mean? So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to be Shoyal Me'imach? So Rav Schwab, so you have to look in Rav Schwab and see exactly what he says, but I just want to suggest that there is a very simple answer, is that Eino Chinami, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to make a request from us that we fear Him, Kim liyira es Hashem Elokecha, we should not make a mistake and be foolish to think that when we have a nisayon in life, think about it, you have a nisayon, should I be good or should I be bad? we have a test. And we decide, you know what? I'm going to be good today. Today, u'bacharta b'chayim. So how do we feel? It's human nature. Ribbono shel olam, we did something for you. I did something for you. You owe me. I gave up. I gave up something that I could have... this is human nature. I had a choice, the option of saying no. I had an option of coming and to do what I want and now doing what you want. The fact that I chose to do your will and ignore my will, I've given you something, Hashem. And therefore, I wrote a check. If you write out a check to an organization, to Tzedakah, you expect a mishaberach. You expect they should honor you. They should give you something in return. There should be some respect. Hashem says, I don't owe you nothing. Don't make any mistake and think that when you go and you do my will, you do a mitzvah, you gave me something. You gave me nothing. It's not. It's like I'm borrowing something from you. Keep it for yourself. It's for your benefit. You here have just basically lent. When you lend someone something, have you really done that person a favor? No. It's my property. It didn't depart. The thing, the hammer is sitting in my closet. What is the hammer doing now? The hammer is already dented and it's broken. So you're going to use the hammer. Do I have any gain from it? No, have I done anything for you? I didn't give it up. It's my property. It's exactly the point. When a person expresses Yirah Shamayim, Hashem is telling the person, don't look at it, at this nisayon, this accomplishment, like you've done something for Hashem. And I owe you. I owe you nothing. View this as if you've loaned me something. You have just extended something that anyway is entitled to me. It's your life. You have to nuance expressing the right expression. The point is, you have not given Hashem anything by doing a mitzvah or by not doing avera. It's like lending HaKadosh Baruch Hu something. When you lend a person something, you typically do not take pride in having done something significant, because you've done nothing. It's my property, I've given it to you, it's coming back to me. In the meantime, you use it. So, Zenenu Zelei Chosar. I don't have any great expectation from the recipient of the fact that I lend you something that I owe, that he owes me the world. But I didn't do anything for him. If I gave you something, I worked hard, and I gave up of my time and effort to you, then I have an expectation. But if I am the legal owner, and I temporarily give it to you for you to use, and you give it back to me, what have I really done? That's exactly how Hashem said that's what your attitude should be when you do a mitzvah. Don't think that you're lording over me that by doing a mitzvah, by not doing an avera. Indeed, it's a she'ela. It's not a request. And that's why it's precise where it says me'imach and not mimecha. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in this week's parasha mezuzah. Mezuzah and tefillin. Okay, the second parasha of Krishna, we could have said the same thing last week because we have the first parasha of Krishna, mezuzah and tefillin. I came across in the Rinja Sefer a very interesting observation that in mezuzah, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you're supposed to check your mezuzos and your tefillin twice every 7 years. Now, halacha l'maaseh says that applies to Zman Hazeh. We learned this a few times with Mishnah Berurah. We learned the point of Zman Hazeh that it's not, so mezuzahs maybe yes. Not even really. Mezuzah, but tefillin is a very big machlokes poskim in Zman Hazeh due to the nature of the quality of tefillin. If it's really such a good idea to have it checked too often. In fact, I know someone very recently had a very high quality pair of tefillin, and they checked his tefillin, and they made a puzzle. They made a puzzle by opening up the tefillin, they cracked the leather. They cracked the leather, and it's clear, it's pashut out in the oath, that the only reason why it was cracked was because when they opened it up, so it could crack. Had they not opened it up, or had they checked it less often, it would not have cracked. So, listen, the tefillin already 40 years old, so the person was not upset. He said, so it's not, the time has come to buy a new tefillin. He wasn't necessarily upset, but not everyone has the liberty of having that kind of money where they can just go spend $1,000 to go buy a new parashos, whatever it is. Okay, so there's a big machlekes apaiskim b'zman hazeh, you should have your tefillin checked twice in 7 years due to the fact that the tefillin b'zman hazeh are very high quality, and if you have a computer check and everything is good and well, it might be okay to leave it for more than, leave it for 10 years. Mezuzos, also, there's a debate, I believe it's more common, you do check the mezuzahs for, over the elements, you check it twice in 7 years. Weird, well, it's a very bizarre concept. Twice in 7 years. Chazal would say, check it every 3 years, check it every 4 years, check it every 5 years. What is this twice in 7 years? A very bizarre concept. There's one other place in Halacha where there's a concept of twice in 7 years. There's only one place in Halacha. I saw this, not my var, I saw this in the Sefer. I don't remember the name of the Chaber, it's an English book. I don't even remember the name of the book. We want to. What? Maisani. Okay, I don't remember the name of the sefer, but it's not my bard. Maisani makes his observation. Maisani. Maisani give twice in 7 years, year three and year six. 7 years Shemitah. Right. So, halay davar. If Chazal are telling us to check your tefillin twice in 7 years, obviously they're trying to remind us when you check your tefillin mezuzos, remember the ani. So, what is the significance? Well, it's very pashut. When it comes to the bayis, your home, that represents your wealth, your assets. Person's assets, your home, where you live, all of your property, everything that you have is in your home. You have to realize not everyone is fortunate like you. Everyone could always find a person that's less fortunate, that's less. And therefore, when you check your mezuzos, it is a technique Chazal had to force you to remember the poor man. Just like mice, only twice a year, twice in 7 years, you have to go give a significant amount of your assets to the poor person. So too, when you check your mezuzos, remember, not everyone has a home. There are people that rent. There are people that are homeless. And not everyone, the mezuzah is coming to protect all of your wealth, all of your kalim, your beautiful kalim, your china, and all of your electronics, and who knows what else you have stashed away in your mattress. Not everyone has such good things stashed away at home. You have to remember. What else do you check twice in 7 years? Your tefillin. Where did the tefillin go? On your head and your heart. It represents your intellect. The heart is also a degree of machshava, and the mind certainly is machshava. And what do Chazal say? Ein oni ela bidas. Famous expression in Chazal. True poverty is in the mind. It's your hasagas. It's the Torah knowledge. Ein oni ela bidas. Twice a year, twice in 7 years, when you check your tefillin, it forces you to contemplate, maybe I should go for some adult education courses. Maybe I should go to Kollel. I should improve my intellect. Maybe my Yiras Shamayim, maybe my Hasogis in Yiras Shamayim and in Avodas Hashem is poor. Ein oni ela bidas, and the das is capturing the heart. The heart is the tefillin shel yad is connected to the lev, which is influences your hasogis of intellect. And the mind certainly, when you put the tefillin on the tefillin shel Moshe on your moyach, so there's a clever remez Chazal trying to remind the person by telling him to check his tefillin these two twice in 7 years. Okay, let's go to another Rashi. Now we got another idea. We have here a very bizarre Rashi. Always like to talk about this Rashi, where the Samtem is to Varai Eila al Levavchem. It's in the Kriya Shema. And it says, let me find the Rashi. The Samtem is to Varai Eila al Levavchem. Excuse me. Where is Rashi? Yudches? Yudzayin, Yudches, here it is. Af, Rashi writes here, gets a Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yudches. Af. La'achar shetiglu hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvahs. Over here it's fighting vavadetem, you're going to worship with the Zohar. The Kriya Shema is a prediction. There's going to be golus. You are going to go into exile. And when you go into exile, af la'achar shetiglu hayu mitzuyonim b'mitzvahs. Don't think that if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to do mitzvahs. And therefore, hanichu tefillin. Don't forget, when you wake up every morning, put on tefillin, asum mezuzos, and put a mezuzah on your bias. Kidei shelo yiu lochem chadoshim kishetachzeru. So when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, kibbutz golius, when you come back, you should, you remember, we'll put on tefillin, and we'll put on a mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael, just like we put on tefillin, and we put on tefillin, we had a mezuzos in chutz li'aretz. V'cheinu oimer, chatzivu l'chot tzioinim. Establish for yourself marks. Make for yourself markers. Do things in Chutz Li'aretz that you're not obligated to do. It's sort of to serve as a reminder to do these things when Mashiach comes, you go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what is the obvious question? That if you want to give an example of doing things in Chutz Li'aretz that are not Daraisa, you should focus on mitzvos hatluyos baretz. Truma and Maaser, which indeed above all they gave Truma. We don't give Truma in America, but at the time of the Gemara, there was a takana to give Truma and Maaser in Bavel. Oh, and in fact, you go to the Bavel, you have to give. If you want to go and buy property in Iraq, you have to give Maaser. I know, you have to go see what they did in Beni Shai. No, but that's Maaser Kesafim. But what about Maaser Karka of the produce? Maaser Peros? So in Bavel, the Uzat HaKona, they had to give Maaser Kesafim. They had to give Maaser Truma Maaser. So I don't know, in the Sfaradim, the Beni Shai, I'm imagining they did, because that was never bought. I wonder what they there are a few Jews left. If I don't know if there is anyone still left. But a couple of years ago, there still were a handful of Jews left in Iraq. I wonder what they did, if they still separate, if they even had, I don't know if they even had. And then after you have to El Karkov, then you have to give Shulman and Maaser. But in America, you know, only outside of Bavel, there was no Takana. But the question over here is, what in the world is Rashi talking about? The mitzvah of mezuzah and the mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah, it's choyvas haguf. Choyvas haguf yechayiv 100% in chutz li'aretz. So what in the world is Rashi talking about? If you're dealing with mitzvahs that are tluyos v'aretz, orla, truma, meiser, all those type of mitzvos. Chodosh, we're talking about Chodosh, also machloikis. Okay, so you want to be machloikis, fine. But you're talking about over here tefillin and mezuzos. What in the world? These are mitzvos, hatzvevas, haguf. You have to do these things in chutzir. So what does Rashi mean? If Rashi implies in the potter. So there's a very famous answer. There's a very popular answer. And the answer is a tos hatufus. It's a printer's error. Rashi, in his original version, he did not have the word hanichu tefillin. He had hey. Tov. Hey Tov is Rosh Tevos. Hifrishu, hafrishu, tiruma. Separate truma. Then the next words were, next words, vihinich, mezuzos. Ayin asu mezuzos. Rashi did not have the words asu mezuzos. In Rashi he wrote ayin mem. Ayin mem stands for isru maasros. Isru, ayin sin reishvav, isru, separate, mem is ma'asros.
So why didn't you write it in Rashi
Tevos? So Rashi, first of all, maybe it could be that Rashi did not write in Rashi Tevos. It could be that the printers wrote it in Rashi Tevos to make this the name of Katzer when it was reproduced. And then later, people got confused. So the later printers, they came across these Rashi Tevos, Hey Tov, Ayin Mem, and since the Pasuk Yud Ches, what does Pasuk Yud Ches say? Pasuk Yud Ches says, V'samtem es devarai eila al levav v'yal nafshechem, u'kishartem osom le'osal yetchem, v'yu l'totof os beinenechem, and then the Pasuk Chav goes on to say mezuzos. So since from the context, we're dealing with tefillin and mezuzos, so the printer made a mistake, and the printer saw these letters, Hey Tov, Ayin mem, and they thought it meant hanichu. They thought it meant it mean hanichu tefillin and asu mezuzos. But Rashi never meant it because that cannot possibly be correct because this is a mitzvah chovas haguf. Okay, so this is the common answer, common mystery to explain this Rashi. It's a printer's mistake. It's like what? Magdal and Nil Shmuel Beis. There are many examples. Rabbi Reisen has an hour shiur on this. He goes through 20 examples of where the printers, people claim the printers were one, the printers made mistakes and they changed things around. And each one of the things that he says is controversial because you have all the mafarshim that say, no, it's very precise. Even something very basic, like for example, the Kaddish Yisrael v'Hazmanim on the Sholosh Ugolim. So on Pesach and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yoyim HaZikoroyim, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yoyim HaKippurim. But on the Sholosh Ugolim we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Why don't we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaMatzos, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaShavuos, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaSukos? So some takas say that's what you're supposed to say. The printers didn't have enough space, so they put in Zamanin. Zamanin. And they left it to you, to the reader, to insert it. Say the Yomdiv. So they came along, they got confused. So that became part of the text. There are many examples like that. For every example, I know Rav David Cohen, he has in the Sefer Masas Kappa, he thoroughly rejects this. And he proves very, I don't remember the longness, he proves that no, it was always meant to be Zmanim. It's a chilik between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and the Zmanim. So everything is debatable. Everything you'll find Torah this way, Torah that way. Here is one very classic example. But not everyone is so crazy about this example. So if this is not pshat, if Taka Rashi was Taka precise, what then could Rashi possibly mean? I think this is a very simple example. There's a pasuk, maybe you know what the pasuk I was trying to find before we came to Shef, can't find it. Umayrachem upachtechem. Wait, what is it? No, but this is somewhere over here. In this week's parasha or last week's parasha? See, in Dvorim somewhere.
Yeah,
where is the pasuk?
It's the end of the parasha.
This parasha?
Very end of the parasha.
Oh, okay. Lo yisatzev, great. Lo yisatzev yishvifleichem. Here it is, very good. Pachtechem umara'achem yitein Hashem elokeichem al pnei kol aretz asher tidchu bo kasher dibe lochem. What does this pasuk mean? Okay, so I saw a douche. So simply means is that the whole world is going to be afraid of us. We're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and the Umos Olam, the Tzitta, they'll be afraid. Pachtechem marachem yitein Hashem elokeichem al pnei kol aretz, on the face of the entire earth. What does it mean? The world. Asher tidruchu bo, wherever the Jews go, wherever they spread, they step, the goyim, they're going to be terrified from us. That's the pashuk shot. And we are going to be a source of terror for everyone. Pachat. Is that what it means? Pashtra, yes. The Darshanim say it means when you live in Eretz Yisrael, Ah Hashem says, my pachat of myself will be upon you. Pachtechem umarachem. My pachat. The pachat Hashem. Like Yitzchak. Yitzchak Yaakov. When Yaakov made a shvu, he said, pachat Yitzchak upachat.
Hoyoli.
Yitzchak, well, it wasn't mean pachat Yitzchak. It means Yitzchak was afraid of Hashem. Yitzchak was a person that had a fear of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham was a person who had Yira. Ato yodati ki yirei Elokim ato. So here when it says pachem umarachem yitin Hashem Elokechem, Hashem will inject his pachat and his moira upon Klal Yisrael when they live in the land. In other words, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in a place where you're in a constant state of fear of Hashem, as opposed to Chutz Li'aretz. That's the difference between living in Eretz and Chutz Li'aretz. In Chutz Li'aretz, well, just like we have an attitude, just like according to Halacha, when you come to Beis HaKnesses, you're supposed to behave yourself. When you come to Beis HaKnesses, you're in the place of the Shechina. The Aron HaKodesh is here, the Shechina is supposed to have a certain Yiras HaRoinimus. The story of Rav Pam. I read the story. Rav Pam went to the Kodesh, and he was horrified that people were schmoozing, at the Coastal Plaza. People were schmoozing, and he was in the first time he went to the Coastal, and he was in utter shock.
It's the last time also.
It's the last time. He was utter shock. You're here in front of the Mokam Shleipas Chashchina, the Coastal Hamaravi. The Coastal Hamaravi has the status of a Beis HaKnesses. The Coastal Plaza, you're not allowed to eat there. You're not allowed to eat in the Coastal Plaza. It has the status of the Beis HaKnesses. And Shulchan Aruch, you know, we don't have a real Beis HaKnesses with Zman HaZeh because everything's a shtibel. Everything's al tanai. We can do all these different funny things in the Beis HaKnesses. Right, we cover, there's a thing to cover on the Kodesh, and you cover on the Kodesh, and you're good to go. You can do whatever you want in Beis HaKnesses because they make a tanai, it's called a shtibel. But if there's one place in the world that has the real status of Beis HaKnesses, it's the Kodesh. The Coastal Plaza, and there you gotta follow the laws of Shulchan Aruch. And the laws of Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to sleep, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to talk.
How far away from
the I guess the whole area, the whole plaza, at least until the wall, where that wall is, right? At least the Chalapachas.
Well,
you know, you go down and there's the wall.
The square is far away from. The
and if you want to be smachner, yeah, you can say the whole plaza, all the way back to the steps. I don't know where it goes, but at least when you're in front, when you're inside that wall, when you go down that ramp, and you're inside that mechitza, yeah, that's the Beis HaKnesses, that's the real deal. You can't go say Dalai Lama, that's the real Beis HaKnesses. When you go in the cave, that's the real thing. And yet, people are not there, so you see what goes on. You see what everyone knows what goes on there. It's just a big tourist attraction. So Rav Pam, he was mortified. How could this be? He never came back. And I mean, he never came back, but it says there. That's it. He couldn't take this. He was so shaken up. So this is the what you're supposed to feel when you're in the presence of the place Alachas Chan V'Karmon Beis HaMikdash. And to that degree, when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're supposed to have a sense of the Pachad of Hashem. Now here's the point. What is the chilek between Pachad and Yira? So I saw this. Where did I see this? I don't remember where I saw this. I saw this in the Sefer. The difference between Pachad and Yira is the lesser degree. Pachad, Yira is from far. Yira is from close. Avraham reached the Madrega ki ato yodati ki yirei Elokim ato of Yira. Yitzchak in what? Rashi is over here. The difference between the two. Pachad hel pachad u'mora el pachad al akroidim u'marachim al harachoykim. Pachad loshon the isa pisam son. It's another way to do them. But it's slightly more loshon the agar biyam rabim from long. It's in time as well. From something close. This close in location and the fear in time. So according Yitzchak was pachad. Pachad Yitzchak avi. Yitzchak improved upon the madrega of Avram Avinu. Moshe was Yira. Avram was Yira. That's what it means. That's what Moshe does. Something explained. Shani pasuk. This is parasha. I tell you, Israel. Hashem not asking for pachad. Pachad, you got to be about madrega. But Yira. Yira milsa zutrosi. Yira is something very easy. It's very pachad is hard. The sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in front of you, Mama Shivisi Hashem l'negi tamid. That's a hard madrega. But here, from far, that's something which is very easy. Eretz Yisrael is the land of Pachat. That's what it says in this pasuk. Pachtem umarachem. My Pachat, not your Pachat to the Umos HaOlam. Drush. Pachtem, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're living in a place where you're in the vicinity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Pachat of the Ribbono Shel Olam is upon you. When you're in Chutz Li'aretz, there's no Pachat. When you're in Chutz Li'aretz, Hashem is not in front of you. Hashem is from far. That's the Metzius. Eretz Yisrael is the land, the holy land. Hashem is right in front of you. You don't behave in Eretz Yisrael like when you behave in the Chutz. They're different madrigals. They're different madrigals. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is all over. But when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're in Hashem's presence. You're right in front of Him. The male of the process is when you come into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be Pachtechem Umarachem, and you can Hashem Elokechem on you upon Klal Yisrael. So when you're Chutz Eretz, you don't have this. But there are two situations in Chutz Li'aretz, in Chutz Li'aretz, where you can create an artificial, I don't want to say artificial, it's not really a good word, but let's just use a word for a lack of other words for the moment, an artificial pachat. And when is that? Tfillin and mezuzah. When you take the tfillin and you put it on your head, what are you doing? You're taking the Shem Hashem, you're putting the tool on your head. You're manish in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you go into a room that has a mezuzah, cheder atum, you're locking yourself up in the makom is a mezuzah. The mezuzah penetrates the Shem Hashem Shakai. It's penetrating the entire room. There is an artificial pachad even chutz li'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, just walking in the streets of Meir Sha'arim, walking in Tel Aviv, walking anywhere in Eilat, wherever you... What?
Tel Aviv.
You're walking and you get off the plane, you kiss the ground. You're walking, wherever you are, you are in the Makayim of Pachat. You are in the presence. You get off the Kennedy Airport, you're not in the place of Pachat. You're not. It's not. Hashem dalfed the atoimim. But Hashem says, "V'sakdem es divarai eila." The time's going to come. You're going to go into Golos, and when you go into Golos, you're not going to have pachat. You're not going to be in the vicinity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's going to happen? You're going to live there for 2,000 years, or 1,000 years, whatever it's going to be. You're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to have any time, any sense of pachat. I don't know what it means to be in the presence, in the vicinity of the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'samtem es divarai eila al levavchav yamavshchem. Rashi says, practice. What do you mean practice? You have to wear tefillin no matter what. Of course you have to wear tefillin. But do things even chutz li'aretz where you're mamish in a state of pachat. You're in the close vicinity to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You put the Shem Hashem on your head for half an hour a day. You walk into a room with a mezuzah. You're in the makom hashchina. So now when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you walk in the streets of Tel Aviv, and even though there's no mezuzah and there's no tefillin, doesn't matter. Now you'll know, you'll have experience in the meaning of having pacha. So you don't have to change the gears of Rashi. You can leave Rashi the way it is, and there's a very deep meaning in what it means, in what Rashi is trying to tell us how to practice in the Chutz Li'aretz. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos.